I declare open the Communications Committee. Thank you all for being here. Welcome Sally and Rebecca, who's going to join us as well. I note the leaves of absence for the aforementioned people. Is there any modification of the agenda anybody wants? No. Any conflicts of interest? Unlikely, but one has to ask. There's no public forum, there's no presentations. The minutes of our previous meeting were in the attachment. Would anybody who's read all that like to move the confirmation of those minutes? Thanks, Councillor Brown. Seconded, Councillor Lawton. Those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against, carry. And we come then to the agenda, starting with item 10, the Eco Fund Decision Panel. It's that time of year again. The next and the third round of the Eco Fund is available as of today. And we require a panel to meet in early June to work with staff on making recommendations for council of how that money will be distributed. The details are all set out there. Thinking of the membership of the committee, I've normally come to these meetings with three names of people with whom I've consulted. This time I haven't been quite so successful. I have talked to a number of councillors who, for a variety of reasons, were unavailable. So I've come up with three names I'd like to recommend to you of people who have not yet done a turn on the Eco Fund or may well come back for a second time round. So from the chair, I nominate that the membership of the next fund committee be councillors Bell, Kempton and Woodhead. I was trying to achieve geographic coverage. I didn't want to have people repeating two in a row. Is there any seconding of that nomination or comment on it? Seconded, Councillor Robertson. It's open for discussion. Councillors Bell, Kempton and Woodhead. I have not consulted either Kempton or Woodhead, but they haven't been on the panel before, and I'm assuming they'll be willing. Any further discussion? All right, I'll put that motion. Those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against? Done. Thank you. Is there anything else on item 10 that we need to do? Oh, yes, there is. I was having a skim on our website last night at the Eco Fund materials, the application form, the assessment form that's put up there, and I did notice a bit of a mismatch between the priorities stated on the Eco Fund application and the council strategic priorities that we're going very public in our current annual plan. And that needs to be tidied. They are not entirely intermeshed, and it could confuse people as to what is this council actually setting out to do. For example, our annual plan commitment is to prioritise climate change, and there's no mention of that in the priorities in the Eco Fund. I'm not sure how you would set up a community group to deal with climate change in a specific area, but there could be somebody out there who's got some brilliant ideas. Councillor Lawton.
Oh, didn't have. Interesting.
I thought you had.
Yeah, I can definitely have a question on that. Or a point made around, I think, too, if that's going to be the case, then a more detail around is that climate adaptation mitigation, because I think there's a lot of work that's been done in the community around, you know, particularly the mitigation work, and I think the question for me still lies in terms of this broader partnership conversation that we've had too. If we're going to look to identify the priorities within council, and there are community groups that you know, heavily align with those particular priorities, then would they have a different status in terms of the partnerships? And I'm thinking about, again, the catchment groups and where they stand with in relation to council as priority, you know, by far one of our biggest priorities is water, and the catchment groups have a very important role to play in terms of that education stakeholder engagement space. Are they still working through the Eco Fund? And we have had that conversation a number of times. So in terms of priorities for council, if those priorities are equally important out in the community, are there, you know, partnerships that we should be creating beyond just through an application process? And we haven't, I mean, we keep, I've had this question a number of times, and Ms Gardner has said that there is ongoing thinking about this, and I think it relates back to 6A and it relates back to the Eco Fund. So perhaps is there any further response on that, Ms Gardner? Or?
No, not at this stage. It's a conversation we need to have.
Yeah.
And I know I've said that before. The, I mean, the key thing is... yeah, the Eco Fund provides a place for, you know, community groups to come to and get some funds. Doesn't necessarily mean all of the funds. Sometimes there are other things, not just funds, but other support that people are looking for in terms of partnership with us. And I think, A, we need to be strategic about it. B, we need to define what partnership is for us. And so that's the kind of... if you like, paper and analysis I would like to bring to you to seed a conversation, really. Yeah.
I would look forward to that. Yeah.
A follow-up question to that, too, in terms of having a different type of conversation around the annual plan this year, is that there are communities out there that I guess were under the impression that they were still going to be able to apply for fund, you know, as they have in annual plan submissions where they request that some funding go into. So as a response to those groups, I've been saying that you can still have that conversation with council, but potentially the Eco Fund may need to have a look at those sorts of applications, given that there's not a formal process for the annual plan submissions to go through. I think we need to be clear, again, through our annual plan discussions with the community of what that actually means, where those sorts of... I'm just thinking of some of the catchment groups who are potentially going to be looking to submit to an annual plan which isn't in its usual form.
I think in an ideal world, we wouldn't have those groups coming to, through submissions, making funding bids to us. That's probably not ultimately the vehicle you want to use for funding bids to be made. And as a part of the discussion we need to have, it's about how do we create an opportunity to have those conversations well ahead of the annual planning process so that we can do some factoring in at the front end, because by the time you get, you know, right through to the point where you're deciding on the annual plan, you know, a lot of the planning's been done, and a lot of your comfort level around where you want to invest has already been not fully determined, but is pretty well laid out. So, you know, I think we need to create space for those conversations to be happening. You know, I'd like to see them happening in, say, December, so that you actually could feed them through into the process rather than have them happening at the end of the process.
So particularly for this year, there's a
gap this year. Yeah.
Can we make sure that we communicate?
Well, Councillor, we have had groups, and I'm thinking of the Clutha Water Group in particular, who have come to us outside annual plan, outside Eco Fund, with a proposal for us to fund their activities. So it's not it doesn't happen seasonally. It could happen if somebody's got a particularly strong case for us to support them strategically and economically. They can come and talk to us anytime.
And we dismissed it.
No, we funded the
Cliff Walker Group. One through the Eco Fund.
Yeah. They didn't receive any other funding outside.
Okay. But they did make that approach outside those two cycles, yep. though. Okay, thank you for that.
The Dunedin Pest Group.
Oh, Predator Free Dunedin. That's another. Yeah.
I mean, it's not good. It's not formal. There's nothing that enables or supports is clarity. Yeah. It could be wasting time.
Yeah, okay, you made your point.
Sorry,
Councillor Scott. Then
I think it's one of these things. I agree with what Mrs. Gardner said that it needs to be outside of the Eco Fund in terms of these catchment groups. And I think that, you know, we shouldn't think about it forever. We should just have some basic policy and budget for it where any catchment group, we will fund them up to $5,000 for administration or to do some testing or whatever, just to kickstart them, and we'll provide our staff member to X number of meetings just to get it going and to somehow, whatever it is, whatever that detail is, so it's a positive push. And we're saying we're there with them.
Okay, good. Why not put another 100,000 in the Eco Fund?
Because I think, to a certain degree, we should be on a bottom level. We should be treating all these catchment groups equally,
yep.
and just getting them started. So it's not about, you know, cap in hand. If they meet a certain criteria, we'll kick it off with them, or whatever it is, you know. Councillor Deeker, but instead of just, because at the moment with the you know, with your Eco Fund, we've got X amount of money, and there's only, you know, half a dozen winners typically, or whatever. Whereas with these catchment groups, well, 2020 is next year. We're just going to get on with it.
Okay, Mr. Gardner.
I'm not disagreeing, and I think that there might well be a case for catchment groups. I guess what I think would be a useful conversation would be at a higher level to have a strategic conversation about, you know, what... Because my concern is, and it's kind of like the conversation we were having informally before lunch, you know, when I look at these things, I'm looking at, you know, what the group that we fund necessarily achieves. But my question is, are we funding the right things in terms of benefit for our priorities and the things that we want to achieve?
That's right.
And my fear is if we kind of have this piecemeal or this, we don't have the strategic conversation, but we put in some kind of, you know, I don't know, as you're suggesting, that we miss opportunities to perhaps get more leverage or gain more and get more benefit out of other things. So that's all I'm saying. So that's why I think it would be useful to frame something up strategically
we could
have that conversation and get some clarity, because I think it will also stop us from trying to be all things to all people.
Yep, I think that's good. Why don't you do that? That'd be good leadership. Yeah. Councillor Robertson.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. I think Councillor Lawton was pushing for exactly what Ms. Gardner said, which was a more strategic look at how we interact with catchment groups, and that means what is our role, what do we want to do, do we want to be an educator, you know, all that stuff again, but do we not want to do it, but to fund and partner with groups. And I agree, we could take that shotgun approach and fund everything, which is pretty much what's been put forward.
At a low level.
Yeah, and death by 1,000 projects is that one as well. Or do we do the targeted 308, which is the other way, which is, okay, what is going to be most effective for this council to do? What are we aiming for results, and what's the most effective pathway to get to these results? And I think we'll find that partnering strategically with groups, but they need to be our priority areas as well. And actually, we might not just be sitting back waiting for someone to come to us in December and say, oh, I've had an idea, could you give me some money? Actually, we might want to be more proactive than that as well as a partner, and we might actually be starting to initiate some things too. So, yeah, it's a conversation that's way wider. Agree. Thank
you. Councillor Hope.
Thank you. Through the chair.
agree with that, though. I think we have actually probably underestimated that we have actually kick-started it, because I have been to the catchments day at Invermay, and we have talked and had Bex there and Nicole Foote about our eco fund. We've had a great two or three new catchments, Waitahunas for one, the Shag, new people there wanting to know what to do. And they got up and talked a lot about the eco fund and how important it is, and to finish it off. So what are you going to do for your community? What's the school? How is everybody going to benefit throughout the generations that will carry on here? And so they are happening. It's surprising, but it's a good thing. You've just got to carry it on.
Thank you. That's good to hear as well. All right. Shall we move then to 11.1, which is the General Manager's Report? I don't want to cut off that conversation, though, if anybody wants to carry on with it. Mrs. Giddens.
Just to comment about the terms of reference, the criteria that you were talking about, I think because this is the last phase of the round for the year, it wouldn't be appropriate to change the criteria, which currently, I understand, would match the long-term plan criteria, or, you know, priorities, so that it would be part of the review that we would be doing leading into the 19-20 financial year that would then link into the annual plan priorities that we were talking about.
Okay. So long as people aren't confused.
Yeah, they shouldn't be, because it's still part of the same
funding round.
Mm. Yeah.
So it would be a bit odd.
Yeah, I quite like your argument about that, about keeping it consistent for this first complete set of rounds.
And
all right.
It would make sense to review the fund anyway and
see where we can improve after an annual round.
Yep. So that, yep. And look at everything.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Great.
Yep.
Very good. 11.1 on page 6. I hope that you all took careful note of paras 1 through 8, which is where there has been, I think, a very careful and considered restatement of the strategic purposes of our communications and engagement crew. I like what the new general manager of this area has said, and I hope that you all carefully noted a bit of new broom going on there. I mean that in the nicest possible way, Sally. And particularly the strategic approach lined to the priority areas of water, climate change, urban development, biodiversity, bolstering internal communications. We haven't seen an emphasis on that before stated so clearly. And the improvements of customer service. And I think paragraph 7 is important too, and that there is an element of financial discipline coming into the whole area there as well, which has a pretty significant budget if you dig into the numbers. Are there any questions of the General Manager for those first 8 points? Councillor Scott.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see that an initial key output of this work will be the master calendar of communication and engagement activity, as you referred to, Councillor Deacon. So what are we going to be doing differently to make this work? Because it seems to me it hasn't ever worked particularly well. I mean, as a councillor, you know, there are different things going on. For example, in my phone calendar, I'm now getting like Dairy NZ meetings, so that's really good, you know, so I see that ahead. I really don't see a lot ahead in terms of council. I only find out about it after it's happened. So for example, if our CE was talking at a particular event and it's in their CE's calendar, I thought it might be appropriate that if a councillor's interested in that topic, they could turn up to it. Or if there's a seminar on, you know, forestry or whatever, that a councillor says, well, actually, that suits, I wouldn't mind actually learning about that, sitting and just hearing about that, you know, all this type of stuff. It seems to me if you just took some key dates out of some of our CEA and our directors or general managers now, then you might actually, and plus some of our key stakeholders, is somehow, but...
Okay, the question was, how are you going to do the master calendar? What's the answer to that?
Well, I won't... Perhaps I'll come back to that in a minute. You're absolutely on track. So what I've observed is some sort of last minute, shall we say. And so internally, we're moving towards a more future focus, thinking forward, more focus on thinking and planning and communicating in a forward way. So that by having a calendar, whatever tool we happen to use, and I think Pete Fitzgerald's got some ideas around that, we will be able to have that visibility, and I mean internally as well. So from an ELT perspective, you know, we actually need to be able to see what's coming up as well in a timely fashion. So and sort of where things link in or potentially overlap. And there's also that question around the opportunity to say, well, why are we doing that? You know, so that would then go back to the initial thinking of what does it fit with in terms of the key priorities. So it's really about thinking and planning and understanding and being really clear about purpose. What's the team there for? What's our reason to deliver? And even who are our key stakeholders? I don't think we've got clarity around that either. And that's an organisational-wide question. You know, you've got to know your customers. So it's a whole bunch of things, really, that come into a bit of resetting some of the fundamentals.
Okay, come back to the master calendar now and say, what are the sources you're going to draw on to compose that?
You got any thoughts on that? I haven't been involved in that as yet.
So we do have a sort of a draft calendar of events that we all, as a comms team, input into. And I guess it's just having something that's a more shareable tool, I guess, so that we can share that wider with ELT and councillors. Yeah, just putting that into place.
Eleanor, is there something you could add to that?
I guess I'd just say that, yeah, that we're investigating a number of potential tools that we could use for this purpose. I don't want to say too
much. Just a little bit.
Early days. Yeah.
What do you feel?
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Vague. Thank you all. Yes, Councillor Neil.
While we're on that, and it's a very minor thing, but it is communication and to us. And we've all had at least 7 emails about sharing with the annual plan and engaging.
Yep.
I mean, they were all the same email, except that they were all...
Different places.
Yes, but except every place got mentioned in every email.
Yep.
So you really only needed the one email. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
No, because you accept it's incredibly helpful.
Yeah, I couldn't see the way you did that.
I couldn't see how you could accept.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
No idea why it's different on yours, but that's how you can get on mine.
Okay, popping down then to the next subheading, communication engagement update. Paragraphs 9 through 12, any questions or comments on any of that?
Mm.
On paragraph 12, I can report that I've attended the South Dunedin stall for the South Dunedin Street Festival. I was very impressed with Dr. Hornblow and her GNS colleagues and the way they had that set up and were able to engage with the public on what a piezometer is. And I was very impressed with the dedication that they had shown in doing all that work. Anybody else on those? Now, I've invited Rebecca to come and join us for this next session on the... where the annual plan is given highlighted in paragraph 14, because she's managing that project, and I'm going to ask her to speak about that right now, if that's all right.
So I have copies of the booklet here with me today, so that you can all take a copy with you, or multiple copies if there is enough. So that is to go. That will be at each of the engagement events over the coming weeks. Yesterday, you will have seen, as Councillor
mentioned previously, that there was an email and then calendar invites after that initial email inviting you all to the different events that are happening around the region in the coming weeks. Either myself or Lisa will be at these events as well to help to do the setup and then to also just get a better understanding of what the public are wanting to know more about, so that then we can help adjust our messaging and just make sure that we are communicating effectively. If there are any questions about that,
I think it would be quite a good idea. We did talk about prior to lunch, saying, well, how many of us could do this area or not? I mean, you don't probably want 16 in Queenstown. You don't need. I mean, I'm more than happy to do Balclutha, and I did indicate to Lisa Globe that I was happy to do Oamaru if Councillor Brown wasn't able to. So there's a couple. How many councillors are you looking for, to be fair? You want two in each place or one? Or?
We would like probably a minimum of two,
right.
Just so then if there are a few groups of people that want to come and talk to you, then they don't have to stand around waiting. But 2 to 3 would be ideal, but... I guess, as long as you're able to be there for your particular area, then that's, great.
Very good. Anything else on annual planning? Please do take a copy of the booklet away with you that Rebecca's brought along. In fact, you pass them around, that'd be great. While you're doing that, let's move on to the Enviro Scores update.
Sorry.
Councillor Orton.
Really briefly, I guess carrying on from the conversation that we were having previously, I have been asked by people about, and I just want to be 100% clear, even though we're not doing public submissions as such on the annual plan, we are still gathering feedback, and that will still go into a discussion that councillors have about the annual plan. So ultimately, it's just an informal submission process. So it should actually be treated the same, really. Still identifying any concerns with the current annual plan and the rest of it. So I'm not sure that message is getting clearly out there yet, because I've had a number of people ask me, why aren't we consulting? And really, there's nothing different. It shouldn't be. In theory, there should be nothing different about it, really. Is that correct?
Yeah, just we're not having a hearing.
Yes, but we're still, in fact, given that the hearing, and there'd been a lot of conversation about having all the councillors involved in that hearing anyway, given that it then still come back to have a conversation with the entire council, there's real value in that. And there will be a formal way of capturing all those submissions, both at the drop-in sessions and also the bang table and the rest of the right platforms. Right, great. Just thank you. Clarity. And pass those around, thanks.
Enviro Schools. Questions or comments about that section of the General Manager's report? I'll just come to you in a minute. Enviro Schools reminds me that I did meet on Monday of this week with a young man from King's High School. It was not directly Enviro Schools related, but he's a young man with lots of interest and lots of ideas, and he's thought it through carefully. And he's been recently to a national youth conference at Akaroa, and he met there with representatives of the Environment Canterbury Youth Council, which I didn't know existed, but he wanted to meet with me and say, why hasn't Otago Regional Council got a youth council which could talk about matters of environmental management and the implications of the Resource Management Act for Otago, etc., etc.? And it would be from all our districts and would link up by email or Facebook or whatever other means that they chose was most effective. And I thought it was most interesting. I asked him as many questions as I could think of. He's going to come back to me with answers and more detail and more thinking. I just thought I'd pass that on to you, because I think the idea possibly has merit. Not totally sure yet, because I have seen in another life a youth council of a city council which kind of expired for lack of interest. And I'd hate to see that happen here. But there's this possibly the start of something new and interesting. Don't know. Councillor Robertson.
Just with regards to that, I remember at a LGA conference that we were specifically spoken to about setting up youth councils once, and MB actually provide quite a lot of funding to see councils do that. And I know that Clutha District have done it. I don't know if QLDC has. Yeah, and we actually looked at it seriously with Caroline Rowe as director for a while as well, particularly, I think, in Queenstown she was hoping to trial it. But, looking at the statistics at that time, and I think I came back really enthused, Dunedin particularly has a really high youth population, particularly, well, I suppose, with the university. But it's an area that we should be looking at, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Maybe not a youth council, but some way of engaging strongly with younger people would be good.
Thanks for that. Do you know about the Environment Canterbury Youth Council?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
It just seems to me we should make contact with them and
absolutely.
Say, how did this happen? Does it work? What advice would you give us if we were setting out to do it?
MB have staff particularly for this. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, who could do a bit of... Sally, could
I
you?
I thought that.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. That would be really good. I'm assuming there was nothing on Enviro Schools other than that? Oh, there was too. Sorry, yeah.
The diverse range of activity that each of these schools are undertaking. You know, you've got the soy bay, you've got the beeswax, you know, the trap boxes. It's all interesting, isn't it? It's all different, and they've all got interesting outcomes. And I just really liked how it was set out in the table with your student action, your activity, and the outcomes. I thought that was great. Thank you for that. It's good to see.
Yep. Thank you. The next thing that caught my eye was the top of page 11, where the talking about the rebranding of Orbus here in the city and how that triggered off apparently significant growth and reach through our social media networks, jumping from an average of 1,300 people engaged in February, March to more than double that in March, April. I don't know what you take out of that, but I thought it was interesting.
The channels are being used.
Yes, that's right.
People like pretty pictures.
Yeah. Councillor Scott.
Yeah, just a question regarding our website and our reporting. I mean, one thing that this council does is spends a lot of time and energy in terms of producing these reports. So, for example, at today's meeting, we have all these committee reports. Now, my understanding is, not that I've used it, but if you get it on our website, that you can actually get all the committee reports for a particular date. And that there is also a search function in there to some degree. And I understand that our committee secretary, Liz, was doing some work at some time, maybe doing some work now, to assist the process. It certainly seems to me we can do better in terms of our indexing process. For example, a member of the public asked me, can I please have a copy of the latest report on Lake Hayes? And what should I say to that person? That they go on the website, but, you know, like, is that website capable, like, Mrs. Gardner, like, we it just seems to me that we need to get our, as well as improving, we need to get our existing systems going, our IT and our reports need to be indexed so that people can get on that website and the key Lake Hayes reports are there. What do we need to do to drive that? And if our committee secretary is doing some work, how do we support her so it's more formalised? I would have thought IT would be part of this.
Excuse me, Liz has just done a search for Lake Hayes and got 189 results.
Mm. Yeah, and I was aware of that because we did it 2 hours ago.
Yeah, it's a problem. So
yeah.
So I think it just does an agenda, and you have to find that particular report inside the agenda.
If you type in Lake Hayes agenda, boom, it comes up with a committee meeting report. So it just depends how you search.
And then you search within that report to get to the...
But then it'll take you straight to
the... difficulty is that as a lay person out there in the community, you're not necessarily going to know to add the word agenda. You'll just type Lake Hayes. And so you're right. You know, some of the things we need to do, and look, website maintenance is incredibly... You know, it's hard to do because, you know, you end up with so much on there. But we need to make sure that we've got the most recent stuff on there. We're taking things down that are no longer relevant. We're, you know, we're changing things. And that largely falls into Alan Wood's team, doesn't it? Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, Eleanor.
No, I think the comment you made around indexing was really pertinent as a short to medium term solution. We've got room for growth in the way that we arrange the papers underneath the different
meeting dates. Is about that. Like, I don't know how helpful that actually is because nobody really knows what the meeting date from the public, let alone the councillors.
Yep, so a couple of thoughts on that. One aspect is our Your Say, where we also aggregate content on different sort of topics.
But I would like Councillor Deacon for it to be formalised as an action item at the start of the communications report to address this important issue. Because we're in every committee day, we're investing millions of dollars into all this wonderful information, and the community should be able to easily access it, and councillors.
Yep, I agree with you.
So is that possible, that this actually gets as an action item?
Well, Sally's writing it down.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
The only other question I had that came out of the General Manager's report was paragraph 24, where it says our focus now switches to the RITS rollout, and I have no idea what RITS means.
It's the bus ticketing, the National Bus Ticketing Project.
So what does it stand for, RITS?
Nick,
or
no?
Ticketing System.
Don't use acronyms unless you've spelt them out first.
But
anything else on the report? I'll move that. Sorry?
No, I was just going to move.
I'll second that you moved that it received. Any discussion? Those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. I declare the meeting closed.
Thank you.